Welcome to Christ Today. Heavenly Father, thank you for your holy word, the Bible. It gives us a great depth of understanding of our physical life, of our social life, and our spiritual life. Some of what we can learn is all intertwined from one area to another area of the Bible. And that is how your Holy Bible can give us understanding as we dwell on what it says. Certainly, there's the obvious part when we first read, and the further understanding that we get when we pray and study your Holy Word. Thank you for your gift to us of the Bible. What I read over and over in the Bible is about holiness, that we are to recognize holiness, and then we are called on to live in holiness. Moses was called to recognize holiness, and when Moses was in the presence of holiness in Exodus 3:5, he was told to take his sandals off. And Joshua was told by the commander of the Lord's army in the book of Joshua 5:14 to take off his sandals, for you are standing on holy ground. So we are to fully believe that this man that Joshua said was the commander of the Lord's army was the incarnate Jesus, because he accepted Joshua's worship. And nowhere in the Bible does an angel accept worship. Only God accepts worship. So there's other examples in the Bible about holiness, and that we are to recognize holiness, and then we are called to live in holiness. Jacob and Esau, when Esau sold his birthright to Jacob for a bowl of pottage, he did that because he was very, very hungry. That was in Genesis 25:31. And Esau gave up a big old long-term blessing because of an immediate need that he had with food. So as we look at his story, we know the foolishness of Esau's decision. It's a matter of learning from examples. And there's other people in the Bible, like Esther, who was willing to speak wisely to the king on behalf of her people. The custom of the day was that if anyone went to the king without being called by the king could take that person's life, and he could have taken Esther's life. So she did fast before she approached the king on behalf of the Hebrew people. The king listened to her, and I do see this as an example of respect for authority, and that included the respecting the holiness of God. So I see that in Esther 2. And how about Job? Well, he was sure of the holiness of God to the point where he said, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust in God." Let's see. Jonah, he was, the part that we are so often told is that he was swallowed by a whale. And, well, that's how the child's story goes. But as an adult, we might view it a little bit differently. You see, some of the basics that I see in Jonah is that Jonah was called by God to preach the message of the Old Testament salvation to the heathens in Nineveh. And those were the heathens who viciously subdued the Israelites. They were brutal people, especially to anyone who they were subduing, like the Hebrew Israelites. And we believe Jonah really, really did not have any concern for those Ninevites. So, there was every indication that Jonah actually wanted God to judge those awful Ninevite Assyrians. Kind of like, kill them all, that's what I think of, because of how brutally they had been to the Hebrew people. But thankfully, God wanted to give those awful, brutal people, full of sinfulness, a chance to repent. And they did repent. And the reason that I see hope in the story of Jonah like this is because today we in the United States are doing very much the same kind of a thing. We are doing what the Word of God says that we should not do. In fact, we're doing what it says God hates. So today, we in the United States could repent and be given more time to seek God and to repent from what God tells us are sins. We could have another chance, but we will see what we will see, won't we? Nineveh was a huge power. It had a powerful army. And the present-day archaeologists identify Nineveh as a city having huge defenses, a wall that was 100 feet tall and 40 feet thick. For that day, a wall like that was impenetrable. And in our day, our military defense also is considered to be impenetrable. And I would have to say that, yes, our military is indeed impenetrable, and it's the wall around our nation. That is, until God says it is time for our nation to be judged. And so I wonder, well, our military might somehow fail? Well, I don't know, but I wonder, because I wonder how much our nation is honoring God. Well, only God knows that future, but it's okay to wonder about things. And I'm just really thankful that God is willing to send a message to the unbelievers of any land, even of this land, the unbelievers in our United States. The message that I hear is to repent and to follow Christ according to the Bible. Another way to say it is, like it says in 1 Peter 1:16, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." And to me, that is an important and repeating message of the Bible. Be ye holy, for I am holy. See, we are called to holiness. And perhaps today you are, well, someplace that I once was, where my thought was to just get into heaven. So-called by the skin of my teeth. You see, I did not want to go to hell. I wanted to go to heaven. So I did the minimum that I could to go to heaven and be saved from the fires of hell. Gradually, I learned more and more about God and the Bible. I learned how very much God loved me. Jesus loved me. And the Holy Spirit loved me. And I wanted to love God back, to show my thankfulness to Jesus, God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit for what He had done, for what Jesus did on the cross, and to thank the Holy Spirit for the many times that He spoke quietly to me. And I do say quietly. See, I learned to listen and to think and to act a little bit different when I heard that still, quiet voice of the Holy Spirit. Often I heard that still, quiet voice in a split second before I spoke or acted. And the Holy Spirit does not at all shout at us. He doesn't yell. He's very polite. He does not tell you forcefully what you ought to do. It is a still, quiet voice, not like the loud and forceful voice that you might think of. If you hear that voice, it just might be the other part of God, the opposite of God. Not God, but Satan. He seems to be the one with a loud, yelling voice. So, you just be careful that you're not manipulated when you hear something that sounds so big and powerful. I've heard that too, and it's certainly makes you wonder. But my experience is that the Holy Spirit has that still, quiet voice. Well, anyway, I hope that you develop your relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And a good way to do that is reading the Bible and praying and fasting. And that way, your relation with God through Jesus Christ and with the Holy Spirit can be strengthened. And I hope that you keep moving closer and closer to Jesus. And as you do, you will gather more and more intellectual head knowledge, and more heart and emotional knowledge. That is my experience of what happens when you seek Jesus. And then we transfer the understanding that we have of biblical situations into our understanding that we use in our physical world, as we deal with people and situations. And that's how I see we are to deal with problems. And we can look at examples in the written word. I think of the blessings that Abraham's ancestors had, or Abraham had them, and so did his well, I guess it's progeny that you would call them. Because Abraham dug the wells so that the people and the flocks could drink that water. Well, he and his progeny were watched over, and they were supposed to maintain what they had, and take care of those good things, like the wells that Abraham dug. But they didn't take enough care of them, and some of them were ravaged by the enemy. So you might wonder, how does that relate to us today? Well, I think of a parable. I think of how God shows us to watch after what we have. And we can look at the Old Testament and see that sheep were valuable. Sheep were a symbol of wealth, a sign of wealth in the Old Testament. And sheep were to be taken care of and watched after. So we could see that in our present day life and how we ought to take care of the possessions that we have. For instance, are we taking care of, well, the factories in this country? I think that's a good example. Are we encouraging the factories to stay right here in the United States? Or are we encouraging and allowing the factory owners to rebuild and relocate their factories in other locations? Take their tools and their equipment with them right out of the United States. Well, that was happening 25 and more years ago. And what happened was so many of the factories that we used to have in the United States relocated to Mexico. They had their warehouses or factory manufacturing plants built in Mexico, and they moved there. That was not taking care of what we have. And there's another example of how many factories have moved to China. That's been in the last, 20 years, more or less. We have let factories relocate in China. We have let our intellectual property be acquired by the Chinese Communist Party. We have allowed our valuable research to be taken over by China. One recent example of this has been in the news just a couple of months ago. The United States professor at an East Coast Ivy League school was arrested, along with two Chinese national citizens who were attempting to go to China on an airplane flight with 20 vials of an unknown substance to take it to China. I still don't know what was in those vials. The news did not report anything further on it. But this was an event that happened at the Logan International Airport in Boston, Massachusetts. And that Harvard chemistry professor was named Charles Libor. And he was paid by the Chinese Communist government $50,000 per month for his research. And there were ties about the people who received the research to the Wuhan University. And we know about the situation in Wuhan, don't we, with the coronavirus? Well, this whole situation is being investigated by the United States Department of Justice. I hope they carry this case through and search it out, because so many cases have been dropped, it is just so unfortunate. I can only hope this one is one of the ones that they pursue, since it seems to have ties to that Wuhan bio research level 4 bio research lab in Wuhan, China, where the coronaviruses have been developed. So, do you think that there is a biblical lesson in this? Well, I think there is. I think the lesson is to take care of what you possess, even if it's intellectual knowledge, even if it's viruses. All that must be cared for, just like the riches of sheep in the old days. They were cared for and watched over. We have to care for and watch over what we possess in this United States. And we have to be very careful to not be deceived. How many times does the Bible tell us that? I'm not sure, but it's a bunch, that we do not want to be deceived and we do not want to be lied to. Our Bible speaks against that, and our God speaks against that. Oh, plus there is a question of people having to be responsible for the damages which they caused. That is a biblical principle also. I think the best example of that is in the book of Exodus, where when an action causes a woman to lose the baby that she is carrying, there are some pretty stringent consequences. So look that up if you want to. But I see the lessons in the Bible. They show me that there are consequences for bad behavior and even stupid behavior. But it does make a difference if it was an intentional act or something that was not thought through. So the lesson here that I see is we have to be careful with all of our actions, whether they're intentional or negligent, because there are real consequences to the person that caused harm. That's a biblical principle, yes, in the Old Testament, yes, in the New Testament, but I was just thinking of Exodus chapters 21 and 22 for those examples. So ask yourself, do you like law and order or not? Well, a part of that is what's going on today. You can ask about the examples of convicted criminals being let out of jail for one reason or another. It's a good question, because I surely like our legal system, and I also like mercy. And somehow there has to be a balance between mercy and the law. I'm not sure I know where it is. Maybe we have to ask those really intelligent people about the balance. You know, the men in black robes that are called judges. Or maybe we ask the men in dark suits who are called politicians. There are people who will answer the questions if we do not put enough thought into the matter to know for ourselves. And we might be called on to be a juror at a trial. That's something that happens too, and we have to use wisdom. I think biblical wisdom is important, very important. I have talked with people who have served on juries, and many felt that they were misled because they did not get enough information about the circumstances of the lawbreaker's trial. And more often than not, I have heard that the jury was too lenient to the person being prosecuted because they did not have enough information by the prosecution. Well, there are questions always in what we do and how we do it, and we don't quite have enough information for most things. But it is our system, and we have to try to seek understanding. I think about the people right now in recent weeks that have gone free from jail or prison due to the COVID-19 or coronavirus. Lots of people have been let free. In California, there were at least 3,500 people who were released from jail or prison. In Illinois, it was at least 4,000. And I don't know what the whole number is for the entire country, but certainly a lot of people have been released. Maybe it was early release. Maybe it was the right thing to do. I don't mean that it's wrong to have mercy or release people early. I just mean we ought to look at it and have some uniformity to it. I always question what does really go on, because we really don't know the whole truth of it. And as an example, I think of the presidential pardons or the clemency that the president gives to people. And I just don't know. I wonder. I see that under Trump there were about 50 people who were given pardons or clemency. Under Obama, there were 1,927 people. Under Bush, 200. And under Clinton, 459 people. So it's just a matter of trying to understand so that we can support our political people in the decisions that they make or oppose the decisions they make. How? By writing letters. That's one way that we can be heard. And I think we are supposed to be heard and have an opinion, because this is a democracy. It is a republic with a democratic leaning. So, democratic principles. So, as a part of the public republic, we are to give our political people feedback and help them to understand what is the will of the people. The will of the people surely is a question. There are quite a few of the people who are feeling insecure at all the things that are going on in our systems. In fact, they're feeling threatened and vulnerable. I think the best example of this is to look at how many gun sales there have been in the United States. Here it is. It's February. 1.8 million firearms were sold. Well, let me go to handgun sales, because that indicates more of a defense position. So, for the handgun sales in the United States in February, 800,000 were sold. In March, it was 1,500,000 handguns were sold. And in April, 1,085,000 handguns were sold. So this is a big increase over previous months. And I think of that in terms of people being more insecure, more feeling more threatened, feeling like they need to be protected. So I have to say, I'm not familiar with this field, these questions, but I did hear about that 1.8 million a few weeks ago, and I just have kind of been dwelling on it, what it could mean. And so I share that with you. I think that people are increasingly concerned for their personal safety. So, yes, prisoners in California sometimes are not, well, they're not prisoners. They're booked and released. And that is happening especially in California. And I think that the civilians, the citizens, are concerned about what's going on. And yes, there is a system of law and order. There is a system of the right to carry a gun if you go through the processes. And I just wonder about it. I wonder about the First Amendment, for instance. I'll read that. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting a free exercise thereof or abridge the freedom of speech or the press or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. And I know I skipped from guns to the other First Amendment rights that we have. And I did that because it was an example that people today are concerned. And I think there's people who feel like their government is not looking after them. See, on that First Amendment, there are many people who are concerned that our government is not allowing the free exercise of religion because the government is requiring that churches must close their doors, and that is a government order. Well, the first word of the amendment, the First Amendment, is Congress shall make no law. And it seems that our state governors made emergency decrees and not Congress. So it's a little difference. It's a big difference. But we do have to investigate what some of these things mean. Yeah, here in California, one freedom advocate says the governor is only allowed to declare an emergency for 60 days. And 60 days has been passed for several weeks now. So, yeah, what do you say? The government is good at making decrees. And when the people are scared, like of a virus or of violence or of anything else, they don't seem to raise much fuss. So somehow we have to figure out what our individual position is on that, and we have to respond to our lawmakers and our elected representatives. So the news goes on and on about lots of things, like the number of people who die from the coronavirus. Well, they don't report that so much, but they do report the number of coronavirus cases because that number is so much larger than the number of people who die. Now, to look at the deaths, it is important. Italy just released a number and said that the average age of a coronavirus victim when they died was over the age of 80. So, let's see, in this country, the statistics are pointing in that same direction, not the same, but towards it. And so we have to ask, well, I think it's reasonable to ask, why are all the schools closed? Schools are full of young people who don't get serious cases of coronavirus. I guess a little bit they do, but it's hardly any. And why is our entire economy shutting down because we are afraid of a virus? I think it's because everyone is fearful. There is a great amount of fear going on. And now with this coronavirus, so many people are afraid and businesses are closing all over the place. That's by government decree. And the businesses are piling up debt. In fact, in every sector of our society, the debt is piling up. It can be made by government or corporations or by us citizens personally. The debt is piling up to make it so that we can live in the style that we have become accustomed to. So, it's a concern. I pretty much follow the financial news, and I am pretty concerned. And so are many other people who follow the financial statistics and discussions. There is a record number of businesses that have shut down. Well, let's go back to 2018. Well, every year, 2018, 2019, and 2020, there are a record number of small businesses that are shutting down and going out of business. And the ones that remain are going to have a hard time to survive. And the people that don't have a job, they are going to have a hard time to survive. I wonder where anyone who lost their job is going to find another job with all the small businesses shut down. Medium businesses, too. And I wonder, where will the government get the money it needs to pay for all the benefits that it pays? Benefits and pensions. Will the government run out of money? I wonder. Especially when I think about all the big name companies that I think we all know. And some of these companies have cut back on their operations, and some are completely going out of business. Now, I can't remember which ones were which, but I'm going to give you the names of some of the stores that closed. Hertz Rental Company of cars, J.C. Penney's, Macy's, Payless Shoe Source, Walgreens, Sears, Forever 21, Dress Barn, Nordstrom, American Apparel, Family Dollar, Bed Bath & Beyond, Gap, Pier 1, Jared Jewelry. And these are some other ones. Again, I think some are shutting down and some are just closing a few stores. So is Office Max and Office Depot, Victoria's Secret, Lowe's, CVS, and Walmart. See, these are all stores that used to employ people, and the people who need a job are not going to be able to get one because the stores are closed. We are expecting a record of 9,500 stores to close. And just a couple of, 2 days ago, I heard that Boeing will be eliminating 12,000 jobs. And Chevron will be cutting 6,000 jobs. See, those jobs, some of them were just to eliminate positions, eliminate the expense of a worker, and some of them were early retirements. But the point is, the jobs are going away. And this is all because the government required a health shutdown, and that is closing our economy down. A little bit or a lot, it is having a great big impact. So you just might see stores and restaurants in your neighborhood that will never open again. So how can normal ever return if that many jobs are eliminated? What will happen to our economy and our prosperity? As our government pays out expenses or in unemployment or other benefits, What do you think is going to happen? Well, the government is going to pay the people that it has promised to pay, and they're going to do that, how else but by printing more and more money. Now, I say printing, but all it is today is putting numbers on a computer screen. So they just create dollars out of nothing, and our currency that we have will be devalued. It will take more and more dollars to buy fewer and fewer goods and groceries. This is a well-established historical pattern. It's happened in so many countries where the value is diminished because it loses its anchor in a precious metal. And currency, which is paper, simply inflates and inflates. That is the way it has happened in country after country. The results of this are obvious, but the timing is not. Measures can be taken to delay the obvious, and they have been for many years now in this country, and more than a few financial people have been saying when the crash comes, it will be the biggest we have ever known. So, what about that? What would people do? What would prudent people do? It's pretty simple. What they've always done, pay off all your debt and have savings. Now, that is really obvious, but it is so hard to do. We live in a world where borrowing is so very easy, and people borrow. People have loans. People have debt. And it's hard to pay off all your debt and have savings. But that's what our goal really ought to be. Maybe in the past you've heard me quote the Treasury Secretary, Steven Mnuchin, the chairman of the Federal Reserve, Jerome Powell, or the Federal Reserve presidents. Well, I've quoted them specifically, but right now I'm just going to generalize. And recently, so many of them, well, they've all kind of said, one way or another, that we can have enough dollars printed to keep the United States economy going, that's what would happen. Just print the dollars. But history shows us that when that happens, it brings on inflation and instability. And that pretty much turns into hyperinflation for country after country, especially when they do not contain their debts. Like the United States, our debt only keeps increasing. So we have to look at the historical examples and recognize that we will have inflation and instability. And all that causes people to not go into business. And that causes shortages when more people want the limited resources that there are. So we're going into quite a time. And of course, I think of storing some kind of food, some kind of water filter, and supplies that will benefit you if we have to go through a time when we are going without. Well, we each try to figure that question out about what do we want to plan for. And I just think of historical patterns because we don't know what will actually happen when there is a downturn. But these things do happen, and I do think that the coronavirus was a very good example. See, we didn't see that coming. We had no idea that it was going to hit. And then, all of a sudden, there it was. It hit us. So we have to be careful to have something to get us through those unexpected problems. I know that these are principles that are well understood, but we still have to do them. I remember being a young man and being told about the patterns of the problems in life. And I said to myself, I said, oh, those will never happen to me. But you know, I was pretty careful for most of my life, but those problems still did happen to me. And so I learned that these typical problems really could happen to anyone and probably would, even me. So probably they can happen to you or anyone else also. And for that, we want to pay close attention to, yes, our financial, but also our health and our personal lives also. There are movements going on in the world, and the big one that I see is that battle between good and evil, God and Satan, or the world and the Holy Spirit. So I see it as increasing in intensity. And if you look at what Matthew 24 says is coming to the world, that Jesus said, it's a whole lot of very serious things. And in short, I just think of this, that we ought to be aware of all the things that are going on around us and be not deceived. For we are living in the last days. At what point of the last days is a question that we can certainly debate. But we want to be prepared for whatever is coming, and we want to recognize what days we are living in. We want to be able to overcome the habits that we have gotten into, like spending money. All our life, we have spent money, and we have found that our needs were easily taken care of. We did not have to think or plan, hardly. In fact, if we were hungry, we could just eat out. That's what our habits have brought us. And we have learned our habits also from our parents and our grandparents. It's become a very easy lifestyle. But we have to ask if we can get by without the economic problems that are coming, what that means. What can we do to get by? Are we going to have to make choices? Well, it's pretty natural that we are, and we just get to figure out what is coming and what will continue in the life that we live and what won't. See, will we be able to cope with changes that really come upon us so that we're able to live a good and comfortable life? I think of life just continues, and it does, until it changes. And at what point is that change? I don't know. But I think that coronavirus is a pretty good example. It's a wake-up call to show that we need to pay attention to see how immediately a change can occur that affects absolutely everyone. So, I think that's a wake-up call. Look at what the coronavirus did to our society. So, in my mind, I think of how immediately can a change come about? Faster than I think. Maybe faster than you think, too. So, look at what history shows us and realize that you have to know in your heart what your intention to do is. You have to look at the knowledge that you have learned and see if you are doing things well and good, or are there some things that you really ought to change? See, that's a part of just plain life. We see something and then we act. I guess that's what faith is too. It's the fruit of our faith. It is demonstrated by our actions. And the fruit of our seeing the needs in the world are also shown in the fruit of our actions and how we are compassionate to other people or our church. And that's kind of the same with preparedness. We can seek the knowledge and gain the knowledge or the emotional feeling, but then we have to carry it out by our actions. And everybody has a different idea about what this means and about what it means to be prepared. We are all different. All we have to do is seek our own understanding and try to figure out what our actions ought to be. Of course, I always think of water, food, and warmth as the basics. Now, some people will get all concerned with lighting or tools or books or defense, and we are all different. But I think you should look after your most basic needs first, and then put the other things in order for what you are to get after those most basic physical needs. That's what I think you want to do. Write it down. Get an idea. See how things really are. You want them to go. And that means a plan, and your determination is important. You know, for all these things can get more involved than you think. For instance, clothes. I just said warmth is important, yes, and clothes are your first thing to be prepared with for staying warm or cool. So you ought to have some few things, like maybe a stocking cap for warmth, or if it's cold, or a sun hat for if it is sunny. There are things that you, of course, will want, like having extra clothes on, or wool clothes, or something like that. You might even wear 3 shirts if it gets really cold. And for that, you just might want to have a larger size of pant and a larger size of belt. And those are all things which are a part of preparation. It's just a part of you deciding what you want to do, and then you figure out how to accomplish it. Make a list and write it down. I think that is over and over the best thing to do. Also, be aware of history, because we can learn a whole lot from history. You can look at biblical history too, with the sons of Issachar, who were aware of what the times were. You can look at, by the way, that's in 1 Chronicles 12. You can look at Matthew to see the timing of the fig tree budding. That's Matthew 24:33. And we can tell that time is getting short, but somehow we have to coordinate our beliefs with our actions and put them into order. Sure, pay attention to history, the biblical history, and the human history, and see what's gone on. I do think that this recent virus, it just could have been a good thing to focus our attention on what we think we should do. To me, I see more reasons that we should have a supply of food, of water, and a water filter, and other supplies that you think are good and necessary. Well, that's what I see, but we all make our individual decisions, and then we all have the consequences of our decision. And that's just how it goes. I do want things to go well for you, and a part of that is to investigate what your needs might be and prepare for that just in case. Because times are changing. There will be needs and crises and need for comfort and reassurance. And for that, it's so very important to have extra Bibles to give people. Bibles are important. And a hymnal is very important also. Those are both good. Because singing a song can certainly raise the spirits of people, put them in a happy place. But make your own list for that just-in-case situation and then determine your own needs and do it in a priority so that you are able to understand what it is you want mostly. You can do it a little bit at a time when you get your priorities set, and then you get your essentials, whatever they are. You get your calorie needs, food, and water, and you get your conveniences. You will do the best job that you can when you write them out and look at them. Sure, you can get a few things, but so you don't get duplicates, get too many of one thing or not enough of another, it really does help to write out what your needs are and what your desires are. Have a written plan with your goals on it and figure out what your spending is, because we only have so much money. But start and then continue. That's the goal. We all have to start someplace, and it's usually with some very basic things in mind. That's good. Start and then continue. I do have more ideas about food and grains and about things that are important to prepare with. And I have a little pamphlet that I would like to send anyone for free. If you would like one, please send me a stamped, self-addressed envelope, and I'll return that to you. John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. And I'll get that right back to you. You also can listen to past broadcasts of Christ Today by going to www.christtoday.org. All lowercase and no spaces. And now, may you walk with God, and may God walk with you. We are kneeling, desperately seeking your